Midnight Tidings, Wendigos. Looks like it's me, you, and some cold brew tonight. Let's take a call. What's the good word, caller one?
Hey, my name's Keith. I'm with the AU Paranormal Society.
Oh yeah, ops. I've heard of you guys. So tell me, Keith, what's crawled over your grave tonight? Any spooky goings-on?
Yeah, I was calling to expose what has been going on here at the Pocketwalk Theater on campus.
Ooh, an investigation in progress. I'd heard the theater might be haunted.
Yeah, everyone's heard the rumors. Campus security gets prank phone calls from a backstage number, but when they arrive to investigate, they find the place empty and a phone is off the hook. It's one of AU's urban legends.
Oh, and wasn't someone killed in some sort of falling accident?
The falling incident was well documented. A drunken actor had fallen off a balcony decades ago during a wrap-up party.
How shocking. Was it a harness malfunction? A jealous understudy?
I couldn't say for sure, but it's the reason my buddy and I were investigating the reports regarding strange happenings in the theater's backstage. Dangerous happenings.
How dangerous are we talking here? Poltergeist, paranormal activity, or Casper?
Well, we had received reports from the stage crew that they'd heard strange noises coming from the basement, the upper balcony, and even up in the rafters. So, picture this, right? Imagine you're working up in the rafters, you know, doing some rigging, when suddenly something whispers, "You what, mate?" right in your ear.
You mean the ghost is a fuckboy? God, that's creepy.
Damn right it's creepy. So much so, the shock of it suddenly happening to you might cause you to lose your balance and fall. You could totally bruise your butt, your ego, or worse.
So, are you implying that running away from a ghost, or at least the idea of one, is essentially more dangerous than the ghost itself?
That's been my experience, yeah.
So you have a lot of experience with this sort of thing?
Pretty much. Wrote about my and other people's experiences with the paranormal in my book, titled Ain't Scared. It's actually available in bookstores now.
Gonna have to stop you there, Keith. Can't have you doing a commercial on my show, okay?
Apologies.
No worries, man. Any listeners wanting to find out more can Google you, okay?
Google?
Yes. So you said that you were going to expose what has been going on at the Pocketwalk Theater.
Oh yeah, so getting permission to do our investigation at the theater was pretty tough. And when we were finally given permission, it was for only one night. Which totally stinks because only one other member of the team was available during this window. Not to mention, our investigations usually run on and off for weeks. I mean, how can you possibly collect enough data in only one night? The paranormal doesn't really happen on a set schedule, you know. Furthermore, I really hate doing this stuff at night. I keep thinking I miss stuff in the shadows, and you could hurt yourself tramping around in the dark. Besides, all the best disembodied voice evidence I ever captured was in broad daylight anyway.
Oh? Would you be willing to share some of your evidence with our listeners?
Sure thing. I'll send you a copy of one of our tapes.
Tapes? You record disembodied voices with audio tapes?
Of course. My vinyl recorder is broken, so... I'm just joshing you. I'll send some recordings for your listeners. But they won't be from the Pocketwalk. This place is not haunted.
It's not? Aww.
Yeah, the supposed sounds are being perpetrated by a prankster who took it a little too far this time. And that's why I've called to expose him. I've already called campus security, but I think something's wrong with their phone. They didn't seem able to hear me. But I heard them say that my call was coming from this theater, so they were sending someone over.
Wow, so what happened?
Well, my friend went out to the store a little while ago, you know, to pick up some stuff to keep us going, and...
Your friend, this is the other investigator?
Yeah, he hasn't gotten back yet. And, I was up on the second floor office area when I heard the sounds of a pulley being used backstage.
It was just supposed to be you two, right?
Correct. The manager had given us a copy of the key and asked that we lock up after ourselves. We had locked the door behind us to keep anyone from interrupting our investigation, right?
Makes sense.
The house and stage lights were all off, and I know I made sure they were on earlier. A spotlight was shining on the curtain, center stage.
A ghost with a taste for theatrics.
I figured maybe one of the theater's tech crew had come back to test the lights. Maybe they didn't get the memo that we were doing this investigation. Wouldn't be the first time. So I flipped them all back on and made my way to the spotlight control room. No one was there. I turned off the spotlight and made my way downstairs and went behind the main curtain to see what had made the noise. Then I remembered. That curtain was not closed before. So I went over to the pulley system and opened the curtains again so I could get a view of the house and the stage at the same time. When I had just about finished, I heard footsteps out in the aisles. I ran to the edge of the stage and looked out into the seating areas, both the ground level and balcony. Nada.
Maybe someone was hiding behind the seats.
Yeah, I thought of that, and I was about to make my way over and check when suddenly the lights cut out again.
This ghost sounds kind of inconsiderate.
Yeah. Now I knew someone was messing with me, and I was pissed. I yelled out, "Hey! Hello! I'm down here! Hello!" I heard a loud bang from behind me, so I turned to shine my flashlight in that direction, and I effing fell into an open trap door.
What?
Yeah, this was not open before. I just fell right through the damn thing.
Holy shit, and you're okay?
Yeah. Luckily, I'm fine. And when I brushed myself off, I noticed a man near me, dressed in a Shakespearean costume. He was looking shocked, like he couldn't believe what just happened. Then, he took off running.
Really?
Yeah, I chased after him yelling, "You think this is funny, asshole? You could have fucking killed me!" And he just kept running, yelling, "Oh, I'm sorry, that wasn't meant to kill you, just scare you, I'm sorry. Oh, I was pissed. "I'll show you sorry, you fuck," I yelled after him. But he gave me the slip at the front entrance area. I looked everywhere. I couldn't make out which way the fucker went.
Wow.
Yeah, no kidding. So I called campus security after that and, well, you know the rest. Now I'm just waiting for them to show up so I can file a report.
Oh man, I'm so sorry. I hope they get the bastard.
Yeah, well, at least I can safely say that I've debunked this so-called haunting, right?
It would appear so. Congrats.
Thanks. It's the little things, I guess.
Not to worry, Keith. The boys in blue have got your back. Boys in green, anyway. I'm sure AUPD will be there with you shortly. Probably. Anywho, it's that time in the morning, Wendigos. We're going to dive into the Alexandria archives. I found tonight's tale when I came into the station this evening. A vinyl copy of Frampton Comes Alive was waiting on my chair for me. Attached was a piece of paper with just a name on it. Costa Koutsoudis. Well, being a fan of Frampton, I pulled out the station's turntable. But on the record, instead of music, this story came out. And when I heard it, I knew my listeners should too. Enjoy.
I jerked awake, my headphones yanking out of my ears. Did I fall asleep? I used the sleeve of my AU hoodie to wipe away a trail of drool from my cheek. The light of the research nook was bright in my face, but all around me the lights of the neighboring spaces were dark, casting everything in shadow. The Alexandria Public Library was quiet. I sat up at the station desk looking around. I'd gone to the city library off campus for some time alone to study. I figured I could grab a bite to eat and not have to fight for space at King's, which is always packed around test time. I couldn't stand it. People just lounging around like the library was some kind of cafe or open space for them to use. This is a serious sort of place, people. Some of us are trying to actually get work done. I mean, hello? We can't all be wasting our time not passing classes. Anyway, the library in Alexandria proper was a relatively new building, not like King's Library on campus, which was old, confusing, and I swear growled at me once. It happened when I was trawling the lower levels for an on-loan collection for Miskatonic. Say what you will about them when it comes to them and our football rivalry, but they have a far better library and research collection. The amount of times I found references to their collection and the work that their grad students are doing can be a little overwhelming and, I'm sure for most of the serious AU students, infuriating. Where was I? Oh, right, the growling. I'd been passing through a doorway into a study room when I heard it, like a low thrum you feel more than hear, like a dog or cat asleep on your chest. It was probably the building settling or the furnace switching on, but it had been late and dark and I'd been running on no sleep. And you know what they always tell girls when we go away to college away from home, right? Trust your gut about those sketchy feeling places, and I always try to do it, even though it always leads to, "Oh, Debbie, you're so paranoid. What a downer. Come on, this party's fine. Let's go." No thanks. I'd rather not end up in the trunk of some psycho's car or caught up into hamburger meat. I'll stay in with a good book and Netflix. Thanks. To be honest, the whole library on campus felt sketchy, what with the doors that didn't open, some that opened up to brick walls, and doorways that smelled faintly like the ocean and wet dog. Anyway, I'm mostly here because of my folks' alumni status getting me in and them really pushing for me to go here. But sometimes I just really needed to get away from AU. Honestly, I wouldn't have had to consider the town library if my roommate hadn't barricaded herself in our room with some gross dude from the marching band. Band, of all things. I'd barely been able to get in after my morning class to get some stuff before she was trying to shoo me out. I mean, I know we set up rules about boys when it came to the room, but it was midterms! Wasn't she worried about her grades at all? Whatever, I told myself. So I threw some textbooks, my headphones, and a contraband granola bar in my bag, and I headed into town. When I told the librarian at the front desk what I needed, she'd smiled, saying something about college students not really knowing how to use a library correctly. She was an older woman in a cardigan and standard librarian glasses hanging on a lanyard around her neck. She led me through the new building, past work tables and shelving, and down a long hallway. It was quiet, and I felt like I'd made the right decision coming here to study. The hall ended in a doorway that the librarian unlocked with a key from her pocket, which I thought was weird, like, why was this locked? Then I thought, well, it's probably just like, you know, a reserved section that you had to go to the librarian for. Sort of like some of the archives or special collections at the Halsey Memorial Library on campus. The librarian pushed it open on silent hinges, the door moving slowly like it was heavier than it looked. She told me this was the research wing, where I could study in peace. I thanked her and stepped inside. I found several study nooks, with a few people at some of them, with their heads down at their stations and their headphones on. There were more shelves here, tall ones making dark alleyways. I recognized one person from school at a nearby nook, but for the most part, it was much more quiet and empty compared to campus. I breathed a sigh of relief. I just needed a few hours to go through the readings and my notes for comparative astronomy theory. I cursed myself for having picked that as my science requirement, but freshmen always get the crap end of the stick when it comes to what's left to register for, so it could have been worse, I guess. My friend Robbie got stuck in Intro to Industrial Chemistry and hated it so much he cried whenever we'd get lunch. I didn't hate astronomy, but still, I was far enough behind in understanding the material to really need some solid reading time. Unfortunately, reading time with my headphones on got me dozing, and I wasn't sure how much time had passed before I snapped out of it. I stood up and I looked around. The lights were off. My nook's light was the only one left on, and the only source of light left. There were no windows back here, I realized suddenly, looking around as I poked through my pockets for my phone and found nothing. Was it in my bag? I grabbed it from under my seat, shuffling through it. Nothing. God damn it, I must have left it in my room. I groaned and looked around. Which way was the door I'd come from? It really must be late if they turned off all the lights. I could barely even see the shelves behind us. I might as well go back to the dorms, and hopefully Marcy had kicked out that gross marching band boy so I could get some more studying done, or at least a proper nap. Seriously, what time was it? How had I not noticed that I left my phone? Wait. My headphones had been plugged into my phone. I yanked the cord up and found nothing. I started to panic. Had I been robbed? I'd been robbed, oh my god! I had to get out of there, find the librarian, tell her, tell someone, and then get back to campus. I groaned. Having to explain to my dad that I'd lost another phone was going to be the worst. I reached for the switch to the nook light and paused. Something wasn't right. Something was telling me to keep the light on for some reason. It didn't feel right to turn it off, making this big empty space even darker. As my grandmother, God rest her soul, would have said, "Time to get the flock out of here, dearie." I shoved everything I could into my bag and headed to the wall where the door was. The shelves? Wait, what? I put my hands up and felt the bookshelves in front of me. I turned around towards the research nooks, confused for a second, thinking maybe I was just sleep-addled, and I ran into another shelf. I was in the stacks. I started to panic, looking in each direction. Suddenly, I was nowhere near the research stations or the wall with the door. I was surrounded by stacks. I yelled for someone, anyone. I turned again and again, walking a bit and turning corner after corner, every time facing a shelf of books dark and foreboding. How did I keep ending up in the stacks? I looked up, but the shelves just went so high up, and with the lights off, I couldn't really see anything. I considered climbing the shelves just so I could maybe, I don't know, get some of bird's eye view? I shook my head. The last thing I needed was to be stuck in the library with a broken arm or leg after falling off a bookshelf. Try explaining that one to the librarian. So I walked. I picked a direction, walked until I came to an intersection of shelves, turned, kept walking, turned again, turned the other way, searching for a way out. I mean, it was the library, right? I could only walk so far until I hit the door again. The lights started to turn on slowly after that first night, but I was so deep in the labyrinth of the stacks that by the time I found a path towards them, in the research nooks and the door out, they'd close and lock the door. I remember crying a lot that night, screaming and banging against the door before making the mistake of putting my head down and taking my sight off of it for a minute. When I looked back up, I was back in the stacks next to a skeleton, dressed in what looked like the rotted, tattered clothing of an AU letter jacket. I started crying again, sobbing until I felt like throwing up. Getting up and moving almost automatically against my will. I had to find a way out of here. I just had to. There had to be some way. Hello? Hello? Anybody out there? Time is so hard to keep track of because sometimes they don't even turn on the lights. And I slept so fitfully, just a few hours here and there. I spent so much time looking, walking, exploring, making turn after turn, looking ahead as far as I can, hoping, praying that I'll make the one turn that will let me get out. Someone, maybe the shelves themselves, I don't know, they leave. Well, I've been finding food. Not a lot, like little cartons of milk and cafeteria sandwiches, almost like stuff that's fallen out of people's bags. Like the snacks they'd smuggled into the library and end up losing somehow or absorbed by this place. Left out to keep us going. Left out to give us some sense of hope. Of home. Once I swore I saw an emergency exit, a fire door, all the way down a row at what looked like the far end. I was so excited I yelled and cried and bolted for it down the row of shelves. And then I tripped. I tripped and fell into one of the shelves and lost sight of the door. By the time I got up and got my bearings again, the shelves and walls had shifted, the exit gone. I cried the hardest that time, and I didn't move for hours, maybe a whole day from that spot. I felt like if I sat there long enough, maybe the nightmare would give up, and I'd wake up from a short but intense nap here in the library. Since then, I've been moving through the stacks, through the maze, trying to find a way out. Exploring the stacks is hard. The shelves are so high, and the stuff on them so densely packed that it's hard to get enough off to be able to look through to the other side. I've been mapping things out slowly, noting how many days and paces it can take to get from one far end to the other, giving me some sense of dimension. The whole of the New City Library was big, I remembered, but this place? The lights were turned off and on 15 times in the time it took me to walk from what I guessed was the northern outer wall to the southern, and 10 more times to move from the eastern to western walls. It shifted a bit the second time I tried to do it, but I swore once I heard someone crying, a male voice. But it was at least a row or two away, and by the time I got around to the other side, whoever was there was gone, with only a scatter of knocked over books left behind. I found a few more skeletons, some of them in Alexandria University gear, some of them just a scattering of teeth and broken bones and knickknacks that would have been in their pockets. I think that some of them just gave up, maybe? Like they wandered and wandered, eating the sandwiches and packets of donuts and bottled water and milk cartons that magically appear, until they just stopped. Did they just let the labyrinth win? Then something occurred to me. I'm not a biology major, but this library hadn't been here long enough to account for this amount of decay. Those skeletons look like they'd been here for decades. Now I'm at one of the outer walls. It's just plain cement up to the ceiling. But there's an air vent. So small. Almost too high up for me to reach. I dragged a stack of boxes off a shelf over to it. And I've been standing, calling, yelling, whispering, begging, talking into it, hoping someone, anyone can hear me. I'm going to shove my notes, my map, everything I have through the grate. Hopefully the airdraft carries it through to someone else. Anyone, someone who can help me. Please help me. Don't fall asleep in the library. Don't take your eyes off the exit. Someone, help me.
Interesting development tonight, Wendigos. We've got another caller on the line here with us. Hal, was it?
Yeah, that's right. And I got a bone to pick with whatever clown thinks it's funny to make fun of a tragedy on the radio.
Care to elaborate, sir?
Oh, I'll elaborate, all right. I don't know who that sick bastard thought he was, but he sure as hell wasn't funny. See, I was a member of Ops back in the 80s when the real Keith was around, and Keith, he died in the fall your crappy jokester was talking about. It isn't Halloween or April Fool's Day, so cut the crap.
Whoa, easy there. Are you sure this isn't just a misunderstanding?
No misunderstanding, MW. I was there that night. I was the other investigator. To think that somebody would be making fun of what happened to poor Keith, well, it just pisses me right off, it does. If they think this is some kind of game.
Hold on, we've got another call on the line, sir. Looks like someone wants to weigh in on this case. Caller 3, you're live and, well, you're here with us.
Morning, Wood. What's going on? I was trying to reach security again.
Now listen here, you goddamn clown.
Hal? Hal, is that you?
Cut the act, you son of a bitch.
Hal Bernstein? You sound different. What's going on?
Why don't you just cut the bullshit and go tarnish someone else's memory, you moron? I'm telling you, I was there that night. I was the one Keith sent to the shop for coffee.
Yeah, right, asshole. I don't even drink coffee anyway. I sent Hal out for a Coca-Cola, no ice. This guy's a real fraud, MW.
No ice and a bag of barbecue potato chips.
And yesterday's edition of the Alexandria Tribune, if they still had it.
Oh my God, Keith!
What the hell's going on? Hal? Am I dead?
Keith, talk to me. How are you doing this?
I...
Keith?
Keith, you there?
Damn it, Keith, talk to me. Get him back on the...
phone's off the hook. Campus security, hello?
Who is this?
No one on the line. Damn kid's playing a prank or something.
Oh, I'm sorry, I gotta go.
Wait, what? Hal? Great. I just got punked. Well, that's all for tonight, I guess. Thanks for bearing with me on this strange, confusing evening, Wendigos. Now get to bed, would you? It's dark out there.